Okay, Ron, take it away.
Oh, thank you, Sherry. Welcome, everybody, to Try Chatter, episode number,
What episode is this? I don't even know.
I have no idea. But 12. It's 12. It seems like it's 60. But
yeah.
It's been so much
Well,
fun.
I think that Ron is a little tired. Anything would seem like 60.
Ron is a little tired, indeed.
We are going to get Ron's Ironman Arizona race report today. How many weeks after Kona was Arizona?
Six weeks.
6 weeks after doing Ironman Kona, the World Championships, you went off and did Ironman Arizona, which you had already signed up for, as I understand.
Yes.
Before you qualified for Kona.
Yes.
So did it ever cross your mind that maybe you just wouldn't even want to do Ironman Arizona after Kona? It seems to me that it would be a little bit of a letdown.
Well, it wasn't a letdown. That was my A race all year. I had no idea that I was going to qualify for Kona this year. I had no idea. I mean,
even with that second place half Ironman finish down in Oceanside.
Well, that's what turned me on. That's like that race, which I didn't taper for, which I didn't really train for, and I still came in second. It was
behind
like
Kim McDonald, who's
behind
like
Kim McDonald, who beat me by a minute and 8 seconds. That's it.
You didn't taper for that?
And I would have, no, I didn't do anything.
Don't tell these people that.
No, I didn't do anything because that wasn't my A race. I just wanted to go. It was basically a glorified training day for me. And I took second.
Training day it was.
Yeah, so it was like, wow, I'm really fit. I need to see if I can qualify this year. And
right.
that's when I
because your original plan was to qualify at Ironman
at
Arizona. Is that generally a good race to try to qualify?
It's a good race for someone like me who's not a particularly strong cyclist.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm
because it's more
I'm
fun.
I'm way better than I used to be in terms of cycling, but it's relatively flat.
Because I noticed that the girl who's sort of my friendly arch rival got fifth in our age group, and she's not aging up next year, and I know I could have beaten her.
Yeah.
You know, so just she's the only person I knew, so I thought, geez, the field must not have been real hard, at least in our age group.
Yeah, and I can't really speak to the other age groups. I can speak to my age group that, and this is actually a prediction that my good friend Russ Jones had. He said, you know, because I looked at all the people that had signed up for the race and that were on the list. There were 97 guys in my age group that signed up and paid, and I looked them all up on Athlinks. And Russ said, I don't care how much research you did, somebody's going to come out of the woodwork and just, you know, really blow you away. So
were all of these guys on Athlinks?
You could find most of them. Some of them had, like, names like Tom Brown, so it's kind of hard to find that guy
because
there's 8,000 Tom
Browns.
And,
you know, I got to say, I think people are getting smart now. I like Athlinks because I'm able to, you know, if I need to reference any of my race times or anything like that, I can do that really easily. But now I'm feeling like, hey, people might be creeping on Athlinks, checking me out. So there is actually, as far as I know, there's an option on Athlinks to keep your race results private. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, I think so.
I might do that because, you know, knowledge is power. So anyway, you gained a little knowledge about these people.
A little knowledge, and I looked at all the guys, and I figured there's about a half dozen of us. I included myself in that group. Half dozen of us that could win, you know, or that would place really well, and there were only going to be two slots in my age group. So it's like,
that's a lot though for 55 to 59.
For an Ironman, you know, it's not a lot, but you know, for a half, there's only one slot.
Right.
But,
right.
So I looked up all these guys, and the guy that I figured would win is this guy Miroslav, I can't think of his
German?
Last name, Czech Republic.
Oh, okay.
And I introduced myself to him, by the way, just race morning. You know, I knew his race number was 2004, and I introduced myself, hi, Ron Sattermo, I know you're Miroslav. I said, how many Ironmans are you doing this year? And he said, today will be number 20.
No.
And I'm doing two more. I just did Cozumel and took third, I think. Or second or third, but anyway,
what?
He's doing one more. He's going to do 22 full Ironman distance races this calendar year.
How does someone
all over the world?
Now let's just talk about this for a minute before we continue with your race report. Do you think it's healthy for a 55 to 59-year-old guy to do that many Ironmans?
Well, I don't think it's healthy, but to do what he's done, I'm sorry, it's not possible without
you being think he's juicing.
Chemically enhanced.
You think he's juicing?
You got to.
I can't believe that somebody could possibly do that many Ironmans. We have a friend, John Steed. Shout out to John. He's much younger. You know, he's in his 30s. And he used to do a lot of Ironmans. He would do several per year. And I kind of thought he was crazy. But at that age, 55, I think you're taking a chance.
And here's the thing. The guy's not a mid-pack guy. He finished 12th at Kona. He finished second at Arizona. He finished, you know, whatever it was, second or third, I don't remember it. Cozumel, third. So, I mean, the guy's a top age group guy. And he's not just going to finish. He's going to win all 22 of them.
Had he already qualified for Kona for next year? No.
He qualified at Wisconsin, which was the first Ironman.
After Kona. So he didn't do Kona this year.
No, he did Kona.
He did Wisconsin.
He qualified at Wisconsin, which is before Kona.
For next year.
Yeah.
And then he went and did Kona. And then he came and did Ironman Arizona.
And then he did Florida. And then he did Arizona. And then he did Cozumel. Literally 22 races this calendar year.
Okay, that's just not human.
It's not possible.
That's not humanly possible.
It's not possible.
We're going to check him out.
So anyway, he's an amazing guy.
Okay.
And we figured that somebody would come out of the woodwork. But I figured there's, you know, six guys that had a really good shot at getting those two slots.
So, like, Russ's reason for saying that is there's probably some guy that you didn't look up or whatever that's just kind of...
Or we couldn't get his results or something.
Yeah, maybe he's not on Athlinks and he's going to come out and blow everybody away.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? That's what happened.
It really?
Yeah. This guy, I looked him up. All I could find on Athlinks was one sprint triathlon that he did. Nothing else. And he's the guy that...
Where's he from?
Took it all. Colorado.
Really?
Yeah.
He's got that altitude.
So I don't know if it was
maybe he didn't
misspelling or I don't know. I have no idea. But anyway.
Okay, so let's talk about Ron's race.
You want to talk about the race?
Okay, I want to know, first of all, did you feel ready to do this? I know that you had some issues after Kona. You got that cold. You were having high heart rate issues. You weren't feeling on top of your game. How did you feel when you were actually traveling to Arizona?
Yeah, it's funny because I think it was a couple of days before the race, I sent Larry Davidson an email. It said, "Houston, we have a problem." Because, you know, I'm saying that I feel great, and when I'm not, you know, when I'm just sitting there, I'm feeling great. But when I'm on my bike or I'm running or something, I'm not feeling great. You know,
so you didn't have any mechanical issues per se. It was just a feeling of general weakness and fatigue.
Fatigue, yeah. It was Kona, and it was the cold, and I had broken up with my girlfriend.
Oh no! Did you hear that, ladies? Come and see Ron at the triathlons next year. Oh no! We'll talk about that offline.
Yeah.
Yes.
But so anyway, there were a lot of events that I think led to a substandard race.
You were just tired,
race.
Dude.
I was tired. I was just tired. So yeah, but I knew that, and still felt
taper?
Like I had a pretty
did
good.
Did you feel like you had a pretty good taper? I mean, it's just so hard when you got 6 weeks.
Yeah, and to try to do a little bit of fitness gain within that 6 weeks and then to taper, it was just screwy. You know, mm-hmm. I would never plan to do two Ironmans 6 weeks apart.
Right.
Never. And I didn't sign up for Arizona in the event that, you know, I may punch my ticket to Kona next year. I'm just not going to do it. I'm going to try to qualify at something earlier, which is the normal
school
of thought. Are
you signed up for California Half next year?
Oh, yeah, I've been signed up for that for a long time, but I might sign up for St. George now, too.
Oh, no. That's Ron, there's a reason St. George is still open.
I know. And that's part of the
plan.
Well,
you're a good swimmer, so, you know, with that frigid water, you've got that going for you. Did you do it last year? This year, didn't you? The first time?
No.
Oh, okay. I know a guy who did it, and He couldn't make the swim.
Yeah.
He came out after 15 minutes and just said, forget
about it.
Yeah, I
heard it's really cold.
You know, St. George might be a good race for you, but yeah, I wouldn't. But, okay, so you get to Arizona.
Yeah.
What's going on? You by yourself?
Went by myself, but I drove out by myself. I had, mm-hmm. had a lot of friends there and, mm-hmm. and had a good time, you know, walking the expo and eating out and just, you know, had a really nice mm-hmm. time. And, yeah, I mean, it was all pretty standard stuff. You know, went to the carbo load, you know, walked mm-hmm. the expo, mm-hmm. All pretty standard stuff. Did a few workouts,
mm-hmm.
ran and cycled and did the swim the day before
mm-hmm.
in Tempe Town. So yeah, it was all pretty standard, you know, leading up to it. Race morning, they had predicted that the temperatures were going to drop,
yeah,
which they did significantly.
How cold was the water?
61.
That's not too bad.
It wasn't bad.
But the air. Oh.
It wasn't bad.
You're making my teeth chatter.
Yeah. But the air, it was cold and it was windy in town. So you knew if it was windy in town, it was really going to be windy out on the B-line.
What kind of wheels were you using?
Well, I had a full rear disc
and
a 404 in the front.
You a little worried about that disc wheel with the wind?
Yeah. And I don't know if it hurt me, but it didn't help me.
I don't think it would help with that kind of wind.
Yeah.
You're probably fighting the bike. That's why you were having your wattage.
A little bit. Yeah. Yeah.
I would have blown right over.
Yeah. Good thing I weigh as much as I do.
You don't weigh very much.
But,
especially now, after two Ironmans.
Believe me, I'm packing
it
back.
You need some
on.
Good hot chicken soup and
man.
Some turkey and
no,
stuffing.
No, I'm packing it on, believe me.
Oh, geez. Okay. So you felt okay on the swim?
Swim was good. I lined up, you know, my good friend Chris Johnson said, you know, as good of a swimmer as you are, you should line up right next to the buoy, right up front, and that's what I did. And I was probably maybe the third guy back, because there's always people that push in front of you. So
did you see the Czech Republic guy? Did you see him?
No, I never saw him after that. I introduced myself to him. But lined up, you know, inside close to the buoys, and didn't have the hypothermia problems that I had last year because it was significantly, you know, it was 8 degrees warmer than it was last year. And
you didn't get in too early like you did last year.
Right. I did get in, I got in about 15 minutes before instead of 20 minutes before. That 5 minutes and 8 degrees make a huge difference.
Yeah. Every degree makes a difference in the water,
in
my opinion.
It was huge.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's 28... I forget what it was, 2,850 people or something like that to start it.
Oh, wow.
I mean, we're getting close to 3,000 people now. So, whereas a lot of races, you kind of start to see some clear water after a couple hundred yards.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't really see any clear water until the first turn buoy. You know, it was over a mile.
Oh, geez.
So, got boxed in a little bit, you know, so I think that slowed me down a little bit, maybe a minute, maybe even 2 minutes, but you know, it was at a good pace. But then it was bizarre because you know how everybody always collects at the turn buoys,
mm-hmm.
completely clear. Both turns were just not an incident. I just turned. There wasn't anybody, you know, that I was fighting with.
They weren't cutting the buoys, were they?
No, I don't think so. But it was great. So once I got, you know, past
what
the second
buoy. What
kind of a
course
buoy,
was it?
It was
a rectangle.
So you go down and then make a left turn and then another left turn
mm-hmm.
and come right
so
back.
So it was counterclockwise?
It was counterclockwise.
Mm-hmm.
And on the way back, got a couple drafts for a little while, but not real long.
As fast as you are, there's not too many people to draft.
No, there's plenty of people ahead of me. But so I did catch a few drafts, but not
mm-hmm.
for that long. And came back, you know, through some clear water and felt, you know, really good
mm-hmm.
on the swim. And I ended up 102 something.
That's awesome.
Which was...
This guy can swim, I'm telling you.
Yeah, which was... There are 80... How many people? I think there's 84 guys that started. 97 that signed up.
In your age group.
84 that started the race.
That's about right.
And I came in second on the swim.
Did you know it at the time? No.
I knew I was
when you got to the bike.
Pretty far up, yeah. Because you look at the bike rack and they're all racked by number, by age group, and it didn't look to me like there was a whole lot of bikes missing. Yeah, so,
that's a good sign. Okay, so you get on the bike.
And I transitioned fast. I had the fastest transition. So after the bike, after the swim, I was second. After the first transition, I was in first place.
Oh, so you got out of transition faster than the guy that
I beat. I beat the guy because he was a swim specialist. That was he. I think he was 15 minutes in transition or something.
Oh,
like
geez.
That. So
he's blow drying his hair.
Beat him out of transition. But yeah, when I got on the bike, you know, it was cold and it was windy, and yes, everybody deals with the same conditions, but it was so weird to me because I couldn't push the watts. My plan was to push 190 watts the whole way, right?
So you knew 200 was out of the question.
Oh, and after Kona, I knew 200
was. And what were you wearing? Were you wearing arm warmers? And you're in these wet clothes, too. Brrr. Yeah,
just the shorts, just the sleeveless.
You didn't put arm warmers on?
No arm warmers. But you know what I had? I had an old pair of socks on my hands.
There you go.
So I could just take them and throw them away.
Yeah.
But so they kept my hands warm for about one loop. But so I made the first loop. I didn't see anybody ahead of me, you know, that I'd passed in my age group, and nobody passed me in my age group. And when I was finishing the first loop, a good friend of mine, Stu, hey Stu, thanks for coming. He showed up and he's yelling at me. He's holding up, you know, one finger.
He showed up on his bike. Was he racing or is it a spectator?
Yeah, he went.
It's a very spectator friendly race, apparently.
Yeah,
it's
so many three loops. Yeah. So he's yelling at me. Hey, you're in first place. It's like, oh, okay, cool, good information.
That felt good, huh?
Yeah. You know, but I'm struggling because it's really hard and it's really windy. And sidewind,
headwind, tailwind,
everything.
Just coming from every direction. Yeah, you've got that disc wheel.
Yeah, because you're making a couple of lefts and rights, then you're going way out the beeline and then all the way back, you know.
Were there a lot of people using disc wheels?
There were a fair number. I wouldn't say a lot. Maybe 10-15%.
Yeah, so in retrospect, you probably would have
ditched
the dish.
What I should have done is, hey, Kevin Cowell, I should have borrowed his 808s.
Right.
You know, and it had an 808 on the back, maybe the 404 on the front.
Right, yeah.
But...
oh, well,
you know,
live and learn.
It is what it is. But,
it's all learning experience.
But I couldn't push the watts. So anyway, so I see Stu on the second loop again. He's yelling at me, hey, you're still in first place. Okay, so that's good information. So I finished the second loop. I'm still in first place. And I'm at mile, I don't even know what mile it would have been. It would have been whatever it was, 80, 85, something like that. And then Miroslav goes by me, the guy from the Czech Republic. And he doesn't pass me. He blows by me.
Okay.
I mean, he is an awesome cyclist. So he blows by me, and it's like, okay.
Wonder how far behind you did he come out of the swim, do you know?
You know, I've got it in my computer at home, but I don't remember offhand. But yeah, I kicked his ass on the swim. And I beat him in transition, too.
Yeah.
So I might have been 15 minutes ahead of him.
Wow, so he must have been flying to catch you.
Yeah, he was really moving when he went by me. But it's like, okay, there's two Kona slots. He's already got his slot, so...
so, doesn't matter.
I'm in second place. If I finish in second place, I've got it. If I'm in third place, I've got it.
Right.
So I'll bet all I need to do is finish second or third.
Mm-hmm.
So... fighting the wind all the way out, coming back down the beeline highway, and I'm at a mile about 110, and
almost
nobody
there.
Else has passed me in my age group as far as I know. And then this guy, Ankahi, it's his last name, passes me, and he blows by me.
Is this some guy, did you know about him from Athlon?
He's the guy that I couldn't find on Athlon. He's the guy that Russ warned me about that comes out of the woodwork that you don't know who he is.
Oh, okay.
So he came out of nowhere, passed me at mile 110, blows by me. So now I'm in third place, and Stu confirms that. As I go by him, Stu's, okay, you're in third place
so
now.
Stu's standing on the side of the road looking at everybody's calves.
He's on his iPhone looking at your age group.
IronmanLive.com. Yeah, okay. That's
so he's
great.
Looking it up and checking it out, and it's like, okay, so now I'm in third place. And so I get through transition, and I'm fast. I had the fastest T1, had the fastest T2, get out of T2, and now I'm in second place again. So this Ankehe guy, I beat him out of transition.
Let me ask you this. Did you put on compression socks for the run?
I don't use compression socks. Don't believe them. Okay. I think they're ugly.
Well, I think they're ugly too. But we'll talk about those another time because there's something going on with these compression socks.
Yeah.
Okay.
So now I'm in second place and I start the run.
What was your bike split?
I don't remember. 540 or something that. Slower, slower than my bike split last year.
But you didn't have excellent conditions.
No, the conditions were crappy. So,
how are your legs feeling at this point?
I actually am feeling pretty good, my plan was to get out onto the run and see if I could hold an 8:35 pace, which on an ordinary day, 8:35 for me is a piece of cake, So I get out on the run and I'm in second place now, and I was probably, I don't even think I'd hit the first mile yet, and the Ankehe guy runs by me. He's like, oh crap. So now I'm in third place again.
Runs by you really running fast or just
he went by
kind
me,
of trots by you?
No, because I was, like I said, I was going at about 8:35 pace. He might have been going 8:15 pace or something like that.
Still,
so he didn't blow by me,
yeah.
but he definitely went by me. So it's like, okay. And I'm feeling good.
Where's the Czech guy at this point? Do you know?
He's way, way ahead
way
of us.
Way ahead.
Yeah, he's 20 minutes ahead of us.
Jeez, oh man.
So, the Ankehe guy goes by me, and I'm feeling okay. The first 3 miles, I'm hanging. I dropped off 8:35 pace. I think I dropped down about 8:45 pace, and it's like, because the wind was strong on the run, too.
Mm.
It's like, I'm running into this wind. It's like, okay, well, there goes my dream of qualifying for the Boston Marathon here at doing this marathon.
So you can actually qualify for Boston in an Ironman marathon?
Yes.
Huh. I never knew that.
Yeah, and I couldn't do it, but maybe you can. We'll see. But the first 3 miles, I felt really good. And then after that, I was working. I was definitely working.
How was your heart rate at
this
point?
My pace going down. My heart rate was actually right where I wanted it. I wanted to put it right at 150, which for most people is really high. But for me, that's totally manageable.
Yeah.
That's 75% of my max.
Right.
It's like, okay, I feel like I could hold. I literally was saying that to myself. I feel like I could hold this all day, which would have put me in about a four-hour marathon.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, 4 hours. Nobody's passing me. That's a good pace. I'm in third place.
Just settle in and
felt great.
Right.
So running, get to mile 11. You pass mile 11 and you go up you make a really quick left turn and go up a very steep hill.
Yeah.
And
you have to do this three times.
Yeah. Managed to chug my way up the hill and had to use the porta potty. First time I had to urinate all day. Which is a little bit.
You didn't
scary.
Do it on the bike?
No, I didn't. I didn't need to.
I know, but remember what your mother says: try, even if you don't feel like you need to. Try.
So I'm standing there at the urinal at the porta potty, and my head is leaning against the inside of the porta potty, and my head's spinning a little bit. It's like, oh, this isn't good. And I must have peed for about 5 minutes.
Wow.
It was a really long one. But then after that, I was done. I mean, I knew it. It was like,
what was your
switch?
Your nutrition was the same as it has been. You had your Infinite.
Yeah,
you were doing everything the same.
Well, Infinite on the bike, but on the run, it was alternating between, Perform and Coke. Perform, Coke, Perform, Coke.
What's
no
Perform?
Sour foam. Gatorade, basically.
Okay.
It's Ironman's version.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. They had that at the New York City Marathon. It's pretty good.
Yeah, no, it was fine.
Yeah.
It's got less sugar than Gatorade.
Perform and
so
Coke,
good.
So that's good. Coke helps.
But it was just like a switch had flipped,
Did you get a little worried with the head spins?
A little bit. Once I started walking, I started feeling better again, but I couldn't run right away. So I probably walked a good quarter mile or so, and I was able to run, And it's like, okay, so this is how it's going to be. So I'm gonna walk the aid stations and run between them. And, you know, the walking got longer and longer and longer. You know, I just, it was like, it was gone. It was just gone. And the thing that was so bizarre about that is my average wattage on the bike was 164. Way below the 190 that I had.
So it's not like you blew up on the bike.
No, so I figured.
I think your body was just.
My body was trashed. Yeah.
Your body was just saying, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Enough already.
Yeah, because I.
So did people start passing you at this point?
Yeah, I didn't see.
Somebody probably passed you while you were in the urinal for 5 minutes.
Yeah, there's probably a couple guys that passed me there. Couple guys, I don't remember, frankly, anybody passing me, but I knew that at the pace that I was going, that I wasn't holding my place anymore. And
mm-hmm.
and Stu was out on the run course as well, and he was telling me, you know, dude, you're doing great, you're in third place, but the guy behind you is doing a 740 mile pace, so he's informing me as I'm going. So I knew that I was falling back.
Right.
You know, and he goes, come on, dude, you know, you're in fifth place now. You just have to catch these other two guys. But it was like, I'm toast.
Maybe. Yeah, the connection between the mind and the body is just not there.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't will yourself.
Yeah.
And it's so frustrating when that happens.
God, it's just, it's unbelievable, you know, because that was my A race. That was
where
I was going to kill
it. Yes, but the season didn't go exactly the way you had planned it. Had you not done Kona, it would have been a different race.
You know, frankly.
But you're not going to pass up doing
Kona. If I hadn't done Kona, I think I would have won. I think I would have beaten Miroslav.
Oh, I wish you would. Next year. Watch out, Miroslav. We're coming to get you.
Yeah, I seriously think I would have won. I really do.
So how did you deal with that emotionally? So you, at this point, you've got another 12 miles to go.
Yeah, more than that. So it's like, okay, you know, what are you going to do?
Walk, run,
yeah,
just kind of alternating?
Yeah.
And when you were running, what was your pace?
It was slow. It was probably 9.5, 10-minute pace.
Yeah.
It was basically, you know, walk.
So you weren't, your legs weren't cramping.
No,
you were just, and they weren't necessarily, were they hurting?
No.
You just couldn't make them go.
Didn't have the energy.
Did you have your normal breakfast that you always have?
Yep.
So everything was pretty much the same as far as your nutrition.
Everything was on track.
Your body just broke down and said, enough already.
Yeah.
It's November,
for
crying out loud. You know?
And you've been racing
solid
this since for over
March.
A year. Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, longer
yeah.
than that. But so, yeah, it's disappointing. And when you're in it, it's kind of like, okay, what am I going to do? Am I going to cry about it? Or am I going to just do the best that
persevere.
I can?
Persevere.
You know? Because
I am a triathlete.
Yeah.
I'm an Ironman.
Yeah. So you go on. And so in the end, what was my finishing time? I should actually remember this, but it was like 11:47.
Ron, that's still a very respectable Ironman time.
Well, it's good enough for eighth. So
that's awesome.
Going through the numbers, I was second on the swim, first on T1. I was eighth on the bike leg out of all 84
mm-hmm.
guys, first in T2, and 11th on the run.
So that's not bad.
No, it wasn't bad. But
considering that you're not juicing.
But
you're not blood doping,
I'm
not.
I'm look
juicing.
Into that though, because they certainly don't check anybody on that. You know, there's
yeah.
A
what's
bunch
the
of
deal
guys.
With that? I thought that USAT was going to adopt these. What is it? The anti-drug guidelines.
Yeah.
I mean, I know they check the pros, right?
They definitely check the pros, but they're not checking the age group people.
You think they check Christy Wellington?
Oh, absolutely.
Did you see her out there?
I saw her out there, yeah.
She's unbelievable.
She's incredible. She came in, I think she came in eighth.
I saw a picture of her.
Overall.
She looks like she's flying when she's running.
She is. She is flying when she's running.
Yeah.
She's incredible.
How does she do it? She's not doping.
I don't know.
Do they test these guys in the off season, though?
I think they
do. See,
I think they have random tests out
is
of,
they've got
out
to
the
test
season.
Them randomly because, you know, the way it used to be is everybody would do it on the off season
yeah.
and then... you know, of course they're not going to do it when they know they're going to be tested.
I'm sure they test them.
So as far as I know, they're not testing these age groupers when they win, are they? I think they should be. Because as I read a very interesting article in Runner's World magazine about this guy. His name escapes me. He was a great runner who got caught doping, using steroids, denied it for years. And then he finally came clean. Very good article. And people were angry with him because he took the prize money and he took, you know, the podium and the hardware and everything away from people who were competing, honestly. Yeah. And that's the thing, okay? First of all, if you're going to be doping or blood doping or steroids or whatever, you're taking a big chance with your body.
Yeah.
And secondly, you're really taking something away from the people who are racing and training, honestly. And that ticks me off.
And maybe that's a subject for another show at some point, but I do think that at Kona, they need to test, you know, they should really test like the top 10 people in each age group.
Yeah.
You know.
Before the race?
No, right after. As soon as the race, just like the pros, when you finish, they literally take you to a room at the King Kamehameha Hotel and take your blood right there.
Oh, they take their blood. It's not a urine thing. They take their blood.
I think it's a blood test. Not positive about that.
Because these guys are literally running.
They literally walk them. They don't get a chance to go shower or anything. Just go right to the room.
Really?
Get tested. You know, so that's, I think they should do that with the top, you know, whatever, at least the top three guys. Because I think
you refer to this Czech Republic guy, and, you know, in fairness to him, you know, maybe he's just got some amazing genetic makeup. If he does, he should sell his sperm or whatever. He could make $1 million. But
I think he has $1 million. how do you do 22 Ironmans all over the world? He doesn't work, obviously.
Right.
Just in entry fees, the guy.
What's his body look like?
Tall.
Listen,
thin.
Ladies.
He's probably 6'1", a little taller than me, and really thin. I'm guessing he probably weighs about 150.
So this guy had done another Ironman between Kona and Arizona.
Yeah.
Then he just went and did another one yesterday.
Yeah.
In Cozumel.
Yeah. And
that's
podium
insane.
Again.
He's got to be made of money. He's got to have something going on.
Made of
something
artificial stuff.
Something. I don't know. Listen, ladies, if you can find him, have some babies with him. but first you got to body mark him. So who got first in your age group?
This Ankehi guy
from
finished
Colorado.
First. Yeah, he ended up passing Miroslav on the run.
Okay. Miroslav
got second.
And he didn't want the spot anyway.
He didn't need it. So the spot rolled down. I don't remember the other guy's names, but it rolled down to the third place guy. Just exactly as I had predicted.
Right.
Yeah.
So how did you feel when you were coming in that last couple of miles of the race?
Yeah, it was like, you know, let's learn from this type of attitude. It's like, okay, you know, by the time I'm coming in, it's dark outside and it's cold again.
Yeah.
You know, they've got the chicken broth out there.
Oh,
so
I love that
chicken
broth.
Drinking that and walking and running and I'm looking at the lights of the city off of the distance thinking, okay, all I need to do is just make my way.
I would have been crying.
No, I don't think I was emotional at all. It was just, what can I learn from this? You know, where do I go from here? What do I really do? And it's just a matter of assessing what went on and what I'm going to do different next time.
Well, hopefully you won't get in that kind of a situation again where you've got two back-to-back Ironmans 6 weeks apart.
Yeah.
So what did you learn?
Well, I think the things that I'm going to do different, I'm going to space my Ironmans out as much as possible. So I'm not doing Arizona again next year. In the event that I do Kona, then I won't have another race 6 weeks later. So I'm considering doing Ironman St. George.
Which is still open.
Which is in May.
Hurry, hurry.
So if I, you know, I've got plenty of time now to, you know, I've got a great base. I got plenty of time to train for that, peak for that, and then take some downtime. And then if I do get into
Kona. Wait, that's
Kona,
in March? So that's
May.
Oh, it's in May. Okay.
May. Plenty of time for downtime. If I happen to get into Kona, then I'll have plenty of time to, you know, peak for that one. So the spacing is perfect. So that's definitely one thing.
Now, the problem with St. George is you claim that you're not the greatest cyclist on the hills.
Right.
And as far as I know, that's a pretty hilly, very hilly course.
Very hilly course. So.
And it's a very hilly run, too, as I understand.
It is. And so the plan.
So it's not a course that would suit you as you are right now.
Right. So that's why strength training is kicking into high gear right now.
Not right now. I hope you're taking a little break.
Well,
Ronnie.
I took
I sound like your mother.
I took a week off, and now, yeah, but the strength training actually starts today. I'm starting, my strength training tonight.
Tonight?
I'll do that.
You're not going to go home and have a glass of wine and some dinner like me? Maybe two?
Strength training, then pizza and beer, I think.
Yeah. Actually. Yeah.
But, so the strength training is going to be...
When you do strength training on your legs, do you lift weights, too? Do you use the leg press machine and that kind of thing? Or do you just do squats and lunges?
Yeah. So, and that's another thing that's going to change a little bit. I'm going to change the exercises that I do. I'm actually going to be following the Mark Allen online plan.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got 12 strength training exercises mm-hmm. that you do. And he gives you the sequence to do them in. And, and that's going to be my plan. So I'm going to do that twice a week. To improve my leg strength and endurance on the bike. So, and I'll probably every other week I'll do just hill repeats. We got a great hill by us, Pacific Island Drive.
That's my favorite, front and back, over and over.
Yeah, it's near my home, and I've done hill repeats there before, but I would just do them sporadically. But now I think I'll just have a conscious effort of. I'm going to go and just do hill repeats every, maybe 2 weeks or every 3 weeks. I'm not sure. But I'll just do
Plus, you can do that on your Compu Trainer.
Well, I do. I mean, I do intervals on my on my Compu Trainer. Never that long. Like it takes me from the very bottom to the very top of that thing. It takes me 13 minutes or something like that. I never do
For those of you who live in Southern California, Pacific Island Drive is a great
It's a great hill. It's a great hill.
Front and back. It's different on both sides.
It's a little bit longer one way and steeper coming back the other way. But I love that ride. So, it's just a matter of changing the game plan up a little bit.
So, you say you took a week off. That's it for your Ironman, double Ironman recovery?
Well, I'm in this, Mark Allen would call it maintenance mode. So my swim today was 2,000 yards and keeping my heart rate under 134.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very easy swim, light weights. So I'll do that for the next 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, then it'll be, so it'll basically be a 4-week recovery. One week of very, very little.
Your body obviously was speaking to you and saying, whoa, baby, we've got to recover. We've got to get the batteries recharged.
Yeah. So it'll be a full 4-week, recovery, and then it'll be right back into the full-on training plan again. That's, assuming that I'm going to do St. George as an A race. I still haven't.
How close to being full is St. George?
I have no idea. I checked last week, and it was still open.
Yeah.
I don't know.
If you're going to do it, maybe you better get signed up.
Yeah, I know. I just...
Because now that, Ironman Arizona's closed, it closed right away.
Yeah, it was closed in 35 minutes.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I have a friend who's doing, Mike Hatton, great guy. He's in the Y-Tri Club that I coach, and he's doing his first Ironman next year, Ironman Arizona. So, he's a podiatrist, and he was on the computer in his office... and had his whole staff on their computers, and something got jammed up on active.com, and he just about had a coronary, but he got in.
He eventually got in.
Yeah. You know how that feels.
Oh, yeah.
I've been there. The first year I did Ironman Canada, Pete got in, and I didn't, because I was typing in all the fields, asking me, what my occupation and everything was, and you don't need to do that. You know? I thought they wanted to know about me. And luckily, they opened up some spots later. So let's see, what's the race schedule for next year then?
Not sure. I'm formulating that now. Ironman California 70.3 is the only thing that I've bought and paid for. But You know, more than likely it'll be St. George. If I don't qualify at California, which I have a chance at
you
California.
Do. Is Kim McDonald doing it?
Probably. You know, there's some you other guys that might come. I can beat Kim. I beat Kim at Kona.
Yeah.
I beat Kim, and I also beat Herb Spicer at who are two great triathletes. I beat them both at Kona.
Yeah.
But Kim will be a contender, and now my friend Larry Davidson ages up as well. But
God,
I beat him at California this year.
Oh, okay.
So he basically did St. George the week before, so
right.
He was trashed when he did that. I don't know why he did that, but so anyway, the three of us will be vying for that one spot, and then
yeah.
whoever else again comes out of the woodwork for
right.
that race could be
that's
Dean
kind
Harper
of the position I'm in.
Greg Taylor,
for,
you never know.
Yeah, for California. I mean, the girl that qualified in the age group I'm moving into and the age group I'm from, they were both from out of the country. I mean, people come a long way to qualify there because A, it's a half Ironman,
yep.
and B, it's an early qualifier.
Yep.
So you get your spot and you know what your plan is.
Yeah.
So
yeah, so it's hard to qualify there. But so if I don't make it there, then I'll probably do St. George.
What if about doing some hilly century rides in the off season, like my favorite Solvang?
Yeah, well, I did
hilly.
Do that. I did do that this year. I did the Mulholland Challenge,
right.
which was 116
right.
miles or something like that. That was
that'll make you love hills.
15,000 feet of climbing or something.
Yeah.
So that was tough. I did the Palomar Loop.
Oh yeah.
And that was enough. At one point, it hit 110 degrees.
Oh.
So you know, so I had some.
Well, you don't have to worry about that
good,
in Utah though.
Had
it'll
some good training.
Yeah.
But, so now
well, here's
that.
My advice. Get some rest, Ron. Take it
I'm
easy.
I'm taking 4 weeks of rest.
Take it easy on yourself. You know, your body has been through a lot. And mentally, you might feel like you're recovered and raring to go, but give it some time. Do you wear a heart rate monitor? Do you ever check your heart rate when you wake up in the morning?
I don't do that as much as I should.
Yeah,
but it's elevated.
That might be
now.
Something you
is.
Want to do as you're in this maintenance / recovery mode.
Yeah,
is check your heart rate when you know before you even get out of bed, before you even put your feet on.
I've
the
never
ground.
Slept with my heart rate monitor.
Well,
on.
Give it a try. It can be quite.
Have you
fun.
Done it?
I have done it.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes, sick people.
Yeah, yeah. So I think it's a good indicator, though, of if you're fully recovered.
Oh, definitely.
You know, and because. You know,
yeah.
These numbers don't lie.
Yeah.
Well,
so that's
I'm glad
my story.
You made it through. That's your story, and you're sticking to
I'm
it.
I'm sticking to it.
Yeah, and yeah. maybe on one of these next podcasts, let's talk about this whole doping thing and this whole ways that people get around honest training and racing.
Yeah.
Because it's not fair.
Yeah, it's not fair. And as much as you hate to.
Not that we're accusing
that
the Czech Republic guy. I mean, if he
no,
hears
no,
this,
he, I don't
if you
know.
Hear us, email us and tell us
no,
what your secret is, because we really want to know.
Yeah, well, all I'm saying is it just blows me away that he could even finish 22 Ironmans in 1 year, let alone be competitive in 22.
What would a doctor say about that? I'm telling you, a doctor would say, that's bad.
Yeah.
That's bad for your body.
Yeah.
But, that's just not good. I've never heard of anyone doing that. Pros don't even do that.
No, no.
How many Ironmans does a pro usually do? Maybe four?
If that, yeah.
Yeah.
Full Ironman, yeah. Because
yeah,
they know that if they're going to win at Kona, that they can't trash their body three times before.
Right,
so.
Right. Well, so how can people reach you, Ron, if they want to congratulate you?
Yeah, come visit us, ron@triathica.com, or just go to triathica.com. Check us out there. And you're at?
I'm at coachsbr.com or coachsbr@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Or at Gmail.
Yeah.
That's how you can reach me.
Good.
So, well, hallelujah. Go home and eat some leftover turkey and stuffing and gravy. I've been living on it for the past
yeah.
4 days.
I think I'm done. Yeah.
I love gravy. I want gravy on everything. All right, well, over and out, I guess, from
yep.
Triathica.
See
and
you
next
week
we'll have a regenerated Ron here.
Yes.
Okay, adios.
See ya.